Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning. I was apologizing. I had trouble getting on. And then I made my apology and I heard nothing. And I thought, oh, no.
I was muted as well. So I was talking and you couldn't hear me. And you were talking and I couldn't hear you. It's the root of communication issues.
I know. We'll
there is
the
no
book, okay?
Live connection. Pardon?
We'll put that in the book.
Well, it's all in that framework now, since that's the focus right now, is writing that book.
That's right.
Anyway, here we go.
All right, thank you.
Simon from yesterday, can you name the parts of you that are on each side of this issue? So we found an issue, we've worked out our process around it, the beliefs that we push away and the beliefs that we cling to, and now we're naming parts of us that are on each side of this issue. So here we go, our first caller.
All right.
You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Debbie from Minnesota.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashmi.
Hello.
This is interesting. So the issue that I wrote about, which I wrote about because it was the issue that was really up for me, I don't really see both sides. I'm really kind of focused on one side when I'm in that conditioned place where I'm believing it. And I can't really parse out the opposite. But there's another belief that it has captured my interest this week, just like the last couple of days, and I thought that one I can kind of see both sides, and I don't know which one to talk about with you.
Well, I'm always more interested in what we can't see than what we can see. So, how about we look at that first one? Can give us just a tiny bit of content so we have a sense
belief? So I know it's a conditioned belief because it happens for me in many, many contexts. So it's like not believable in that sense, except when I'm in it, it's really believable because I'm in it. And it creates a lot of anger and anxiety and frustration and sadness and all of that. It brings a lot of drama.
Yeah, yes. Well, yeah, a lot of painful, suffering stuff with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, you know, Debbie, part of it is having it labeled drama.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
and
a way,
seeing it in
right?
progress
it's
maps
a,
and talking about it.
Yeah. But it's a way that conditioning, the ego, moves us away from what's really going on. So, actually, it throws you into a maelstrom of painful emotions and reactions.
Yeah.
And then it gets labeled drama. So not only is this happening to you, but clearly there's something wrong with you because you're being
something
so
wrong with
hysterical.
Me and this situation. And, and then there's this confirmation bias. So as soon as I get a little glimpse of what I think I see, you know, I'm off to the races. My attention conditioning has my attention fully.
So
do you want the content? Like, do you want belief?
I don't see
the opposite side of it when I'm in it.
I think that this is one of those where the process is so much the point that everybody can relate to it. Okay, and so it is if we go to kind of just a basic belief, life should be a certain way, which I think every conditioned human being shares. Now, we're not aware of it. We don't walk around saying that, but that's how we approach pretty much everything. We have an expectation, an assumption about how it should be. How it should be, how you should be, how they should be, right? How everything should be. And then it's not. So on the one side is the belief it should be, and on the other side is it should be and it isn't.
Okay. Yeah. That's I see both of those sides. Correct.
Yes. And that's, I think, is to, you know, kind of play through the situations in your life, as I hope all of us are. I will as soon as the show is over. What we get to see is that the opposite of it, it's not like you should be nice. Well, yeah, it is. You should be nice. You're not nice. You shouldn't be angry. You're angry. It the opposites always play to the conditioned view of life and how we are not meeting the standard.
Yeah, and you know, when I jotted down the beliefs you push away around this issue, the two words mm-hmm. I underlined it were should and should. So yes, that's exactly as you say. That's uh-huh. what I push away. Yep.
Yes. Yeah. And okay. So to step right. back in this really big way helps us to, I think, helps us to get some clarity about what a setup we're in. Now, the piece that I would add to what you're talking about is that set of reactions that you are pushed into as a result of this are really cruel. Right?
Because, yeah, it's hurtful to me and hurtful to others. It's really
right.
it's terrible. Very
it's
debilitating.
Terrible. It is. Yeah. It absolutely is. And nobody benefits, right, because there's no way out of it, because the whole premise is a lie. Because, in fact,
yeah.
life is the way it is. In fact, everything happens as it does. In fact, you have the karmic conditioning that you have. So does everybody else. And our opportunity, of course, is to see that, to make a choice for unconditional love and move through it. The way ego stops us from that, which would be the end of it, by the way, is to make it about us, make it our fault, make it somebody else's fault, make it wrong, feel bad.
So if it is the way it is, and I experience it as hurtful, and it, you know, it jangles a nerve. Mm-hmm. But it is the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
Then is the counsel just to be quiet and breathe and calm myself and be okay with it as it is, make peace
well,
with it as it is, and just go forward till the next moment? Like,
that's
that
right.
moment's going to pass.
Basically, that is.
Pass.
Yes. Basically, that's it. If there's something wrong with you, repression, self-improvement. It's really
like
a
I'm
matter
not gonna
of
fix this. Yeah.
That's right.
I'm not
and
gonna fix it. It just is how it is. Yeah.
That's right. And what we're learning to do, my language for it, is to choose what we choose in any circumstances. So it is the way it is. Do I like it? No.
Right.
Does it make me happy? No. Is it hurtful? Yeah. Do I want to indulge that belief, or do I want to see this as an opportunity for me to recognize all that about myself and make a choice for myself that I want, rather than being pulled into a conversation about what's wrong and how this shouldn't be?
That I won't. I won't. Is that the word you just said? I won't?
Well, you
instead of being pulled
you,
into the conversation?
That's right. You choose what you want
okay.
instead. And in that
oh,
way, yeah, in that way, you are choosing yourself. You're not a victim to other people or circumstances or ego or anything else. You're making a conscious choice for you and what you want.
Okay. So in this situation, I experience something that feels personally hurtful, mm-hmm. and it is the way it is, and
mm-hmm.
that's okay. That's what it is, and my choice is not to go to play that out
That's
and
right.
go to battle with it or try to fix it in some way or, you know, give
Change
rules
somebody
about
else.
It or somehow
right.
try to make myself safe around it, using
nope.
using other people as pawns in my little story, but instead
right.
I let that moment blow over and keep focused on what it is that I want. That makes
perfect sense. That's And Debbie, there's a lot more to this, you know, if we have a chance to talk about it in more depth, I would love to, because, and I'll just give you a little boop of it, there are so many assumptions that ego pulls us into about what other people are doing and why they're doing it and what it means, and that conditioned ego karmic reaction is almost always 100% wrong. And that's why there's really no sense in going there. Because you may hurt somebody's feelings, but you know you didn't mean to. You know you didn't want to. And if you, in a moment of, you said something to somebody, that wasn't you. And you're really sorry that that happened. And that's true for all of us.
Right. That's the thing. Same for them. Right. And it's just we're all just doing the best we can. Yeah,
that's exactly it.
Well, and you can go into it in depth next week because I'll see you in a couple days, right?
Excellent.
So I'll see you.
We'll have a chance to talk. Good. All right.
Yep.
Thank you, Debbie.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Ashley.
All right. Go happy.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye, Debbie. And bye-bye. There is so much to explore in that. Sherry, the thing that I loved, the point that I loved so much because it's what doesn't allow us to see the belief is that there is a way of ego dualism that isn't opposite. It's a negation of, which is why we don't see it, right?
Yes.
It's not that it's black and white, but it's that in the existence of something, it implies the absence of something else, which is a much more pernicious form of dualism that we don't register because we're not conditioned to see the world as, we are only conditioned to see what it says or what is. We're not conditioned to see the absence of something as the opposite of something.
Yes, that is a very clear description of what we were just looking at. And that's the way you laid it out, that is the underlying duality, right? So as you say, I like that, I don't like that. That's a pretty easy duality to catch on to, right? But the one that holds us in that place of suffering that Debbie laid out is it should be like this, it isn't like this. And then it gets to tag on the rest of it. If you were the way you should be, it wouldn't be like this. You're not the way you should be, so it is.
Exactly.
Ugly.
It's actually a language thing because I remember honing in on it with Sanskrit that there are three words. There's beautiful, not beautiful, and ugly. So beauty and ugliness are not the only state that you observe, right? There's an absence of beauty, which is not ugliness. It's not the presence of ugliness. It's an interesting way to start to look at the world.
Yes. Well, that is interesting. Holy rockets.
Yeah.
That's when you say it like that, I read that in the Dhammapada. That orientation, that orientation to life, that it's not either or. And of course, the
Buddha
was so famous for parsing it down to the last.
not this doesn't mean it's opposite, but what it is that is pointing to.
Yeah. Wow. All right.
All right. With that little philosophical
tidbit.
Yes, Wally, let's hear from another caller. Here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Christina from Southern California.
Well, hello, Christina.
Holy moly. That
was
a lot of fun.
That was a lot going on, wasn't it?
Well, I'm getting to uncover something that's pretty deep with this exercise, or hidden, I should say. So I chose to look at the process around when I was, when it was proposed to me that there is no absolute truth last week. You know, it kind of, it set in motion a process that I'm pretty familiar with. And that is, so there's the one side that is, I need something to hold on to. Like, there's got to be something to ground me, to ground my beliefs, to ground my energy, you know. There's got to be right and wrong at some level, right? Got to know the path. And then
got to be sure I'm doing the right thing.
Exactly. Got to be right. whatever I'm doing, you know, I can't, you know, I got to be in line with do no harm. Like, you know, so that, to me, right, or to that person, it implies there is right and wrong. And then to have this, well, that may be the truth for one, but not the truth for the other, kind of throws a big wrench in that. So then the other side of that is that person who says, well, I'm going to find the answer, right? Which is kind of just the same thing, right? It's like going around in a big circle. Like, there's got to be the right answer. I'm going to help you find it. You know, this is, you know, look to me to set the new rules for you to follow. Does that pull together?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, first I want to underline something you said early on. I didn't want to interrupt you, but it's so important. Because you said it revealed something deep, and then you said, well, not deep, but hidden.
Yeah, right.
Right? Because it's that place that we get to of, wait a minute, this has been going on my entire life. I don't know if we want to call it deep, but I certainly didn't see it, right? Yeah. And so absolutely. So now what you're revealing is, and again, this is universal, the system that says, okay, you've seen that. All right, we got a problem here. Let me help you. And of course, it doesn't say that, but that's where it comes in. I'll help you get to the bottom of this, and then, as you say, again, the unsaid, and then you'll know what's right and wrong, and then you'll know what to be comparing yourself and your actions to all the time.
Yeah.
Fiendish.
It is. And, you know, I just want to throw this out there because I don't know how this all fits in, but, you know, ever since, and I'll just put this out there, ever since Trump was elected, I started reading Gandhi and, you know, about him. And, you know, I pick it up and put it down and pick it up and put it down. And because I was so distraught, and I thought, well, other people have gone through way worse than me. So let me, you know, let's look at some of those folks.
Yes. And there's nothing light about that, is there?
No.
Because it is really true. I mean, we are not at this point seeing people shot in the streets. So
So and peaceful
keeping
gathering.
One's equilibrium in the face of I'm really struggling with what's going on here. It is good to turn our attention to people who have really, really been in the trenches, and how did they find the strength to choose the unconditional. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just letting that, like, soak in, because that's so beautifully said, the strength to choose the unconditional. So I look at the Satyagraha, that's how I pronounce it. I've never heard it pronounced, actually.
Ashwini will help us out if we need it. Yeah.
It's Satyagraha.
Okay, Satyagraha.
As far as I can tell, they never let go of a single syllable. So,
okay.
Or a single consonant. Yeah.
Beautiful. Okay. And so, you know, roughly translated to firmness plus truth. You know, or the force which is born in truth and love, or, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I hold on to something like that, and And it takes me back to that place, well, but there is no absolute truth. And I just find myself like not really sure, you know, how to respond, or, you know, how to move forward with those two things in my hands.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all.
May I?
Yeah.
Because I think, again, as was pointed out earlier, it really is a language thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it is what we're talking about this morning. It's mm-hmm. it's the unconditional and the dualistic. So it's whole mind and small mind. So we could say truth in capital letters for whole mind. It's a synonym for God, the way people are using that, or all that is, or that which is, or mm-hmm. what animates, or source, or what the universe, whatever people are pointing at,
right.
that contains the dualistic world of true and not true. The small, the big one is all caps, and the lowercase is the world of duality, where this is true and this is not true. So to me, that's what you're closing in on, that there is the clarity of the intelligence that animates. When we try to apply that into a dualistic world, when people living in the world of duality are trying to sort out what is and what isn't,
mm-hmm.
what's right and what's wrong, you can't mm-hmm. you can't do that. I mean, you can't. Obviously, people try all the time, but it'll never work because there is no such thing.
Is that kind of like you follow, like you just take the next step, and from that place that you recognize as presence, and then
that's right.
you don't worry about right.
That's right. You're getting a little underwater here. So, but
yeah,
I think what
okay.
you just said is we don't worry about right and wrong. As now, this is a perspective, a spiritual perspective, which is not
yeah.
the same as a cultural perspective. So our job
right.
is to be as centered as we can be, to be as present as we can be, to turn our lives over to the unconditional and let the unconditional guide us in each and every moment. We will never know. Right?
Mm-hmm.
We will actually never know. But what we will know is what happens for us next. Right? This is kind of what Debbie was talking about earlier. Right? So whatever happens with somebody else in my little experiments in truth, all I'm watching for is what is the next thing that arises in me that is there to separate me from the unconditional. If I get started down the road of, well, but what if what I'm doing and but what they and how,
mm-hmm.
how come they get I'm lost. Right? That's the one thing mm-hmm. we can know is we're lost, because there mm-hmm. are no answers. And since there are no answers, we're never going to find them. But what we can do
yeah.
is come back here into this moment and see what is there to separate us from the unconditional. And in that way, we learn moment by moment by moment to be with, to the best of our ability, be with the unconditional all the time.
Wow. Okay. Thank you so much. I love this show.
You are so welcome. Ashwini and I were laughing about this the other day, you know, something like, well, you know, nothing superficial going on here, right? I mean, we just take a little thing out of a little workbook and boom, start going as deep as we can go, as fast as we can get there. So it is fun, isn't it? It's exciting.
It sure is. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Christina.
Thanks, Christina. Oh, I have so much to say about that, Cherry, but I want to bring another caller in, so here we go. And
you
while I
gonna
try
practice,
to do that,
you are going to
practice restrained and religious observances.
Okay, good woman.
Yeah, okay, here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Margaret.
Hey, Margaret.
Hi, I am so happy to be here, and especially for this show. This has been amazing and very helpful.
Good.
And even what Ashwini just said was the process
It can sound esoteric, but it's so applicable, isn't it?
It's actually so practical.
Practical, there's the word. So what did she say that you resonated with?
Well, she just said kind of that she was going to stop speaking then to let somebody else on. And that's what I've been with family the whole, last week. And feeling like really the choice for me kind of was what you were just describing about. I mean, in a way, I have to go to images like being tortured by being alone in a locked up room with ego on a loudspeaker or something like that. But it's just a
That's clear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, talking nonstop that I can't. That it feels like I would. That in the past, trying to say. It almost feels like trying to figure out a way to help this be better for me, because I can't stand this person talking all the time, so I go quiet, because it seems like every time I interrupt, it becomes hurtful for them, or they get angry at me for interrupting them, no matter, I mean, this could be a long, long conversation. So, years ago, I remember you mentioning something about, it felt like sort of like guidelines for how to be with difficult, or for me, difficult, I'm just going to own that.
Challenging.
Relatives. Challenging, because it doesn't feel like it's difficult for the other person so much until I say that thing and I see that it hurts them so much, even if it's just, gosh, I'd like to be silent here for a while. Like, have us all be silent.
But
it just doesn't work because the person wants to just talk about, you feel the silence. Silence.
And so, Margaret, let me ask you this. Is taking a walk not an option?
Well, when you're, yes, at times. But you mean you just leave, take a walk?
Yeah. Say, gosh,
no,
this is great. If I don't move these legs, they're going to start screaming at me.
No, that absolutely works. But what is hard is being like cooped up for an hour and a half in a vehicle with my brother, sister, and myself. And, it just seems to both my brother and me that there's no way we can interrupt this sort of stream of consciousness that just goes on without hurt.
Let me ask you this. So given that that's the case, and given that you clearly care enough about this person that you're going to be in that vehicle with them for that length of time, what might you be able to do to resolve the issue for you?
Well, that's where I was seeing what was just shared earlier, that it feels like, this is that place for me of practicing unconditional love. It feels like this is the place for it, but it's sort of like instead of being able to love this person in that moment and what they're doing, I basically try to tune out.
Here's the cold hard truth about it, Margaret. You're loving ego instead.
Yeah, it's like
Are you still with these people?
No.
Oh no, that's too bad. Because here's the exercise. Okay, and now you need to find some people to practice this with. Okay, So this is your sister, right? And she's she's going on. Okay. And so what you're learning, the skill you're learning, is when to insert And in that way, it becomes like facilitation. So you're listening to her on two levels. You're listening to whatever she's talking about, and you're listening to the energy that's underneath that. And you're practicing being present with that, rather than present with a conversation inside conditioned mind that says, if she doesn't shut up, I'm going to go crazy. The reason that conditioning, well, of course, conditioning is doing that to you to cause you to suffer. That's it. And if it can get your sister to suffer too, then that's a twofer, right? So to practice those semi-facilitation skills of, can I be present enough to say, at exactly the right time so that she feels heard and loved and supported, it'll be transformational for both of you.
Well, you know, it has been, in the sense that I can do that when we're on the phone.
Oh.
I don't have any problem when we are on the phone. But there's something...
Well, you got to get together more often.
Right?
Okay. Now, I know we've reached the end of our time
here.
Yeah,
I got to let you go.
But truly, Margaret, truly, to begin to seek out situations that put you in that place where ego starts screaming, I need some quiet. Why does ego want quiet? So that you can undisturbedly give all attention to what's going on in conditioned mind.
Yes.
And your sister keeps interrupting it. Okay?
It must be that, yes.
I promise you it's that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you.
Well, I've got my assignment. Thank you.
You've got your assignment. It's very exciting.
Yes.
Looking for those talky people. I'm
yes.
one of them. So you can practice with me.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Margaret.
Thank you, Sherry and Ashwini and everybody.
All right. Go happy.
All right. You too. Go happy. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Margaret. It's a good thing we have an end time for this show, Sherry, because there's so much to say about that, too.
Oh, we could just spend all day together, couldn't we?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, there was so much in that. Oh, my gosh. I wish Marcus was going to be with us next week. But anyway, soon, she's a center, so we'll have our chance.
But that's a very, very important part of the communication book. So even if we don't talk about it, it's going to be written down somewhere.
Good. And you'll make sure
that
happens, which I appreciate, because I'll forget it as soon as I hang up this phone. So that's very good.
here's the assignment. In this exercise, this was the exercise about the issue, we're asking you to explore how your belief systems and assumptions can conflict and therefore keep you stuck. For example, perhaps a part of you has been conditioned to believe, if I keep working at it, I can pretty much arrange my life the way I want it to be. Another part, differently conditioned, might believe, I don't have any real power. I'm just a pawn in this giant socio-political game, and nothing I do makes any difference. The difficulty comes when we're not aware that different parts of us hold precisely opposite beliefs. As we pay attention to when opposing parts of ourselves are present, we can begin to see how they work to keep us right where we are, spinning our wheels, frustrated and often puzzled. And the exercise is, how is this so for you? Record and listen.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So that would be a good one to record and listen to two or three times, and then see. All right. Well, very good. Thank you. Thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you,
everybody.
Sherry.
Go happy. We'll hope to see you tomorrow.